One World Schoolhouse. Education Reimagined. Author: Salman Khan. And everyone's school. There's an old saying that life is a school. If that's true, then it's also true that as our world grows smaller and the people in it more inextricably connected, the world itself comes to resemble one vast, inclusive schoolhouse. At every moment, we are both students and teachers. We learn by studying, but we also learn by helping others, by sharing and explaining what we know. I like to think of Khan Academy as a virtual extension of this One World Schoolhouse. It's a place where all are welcomed, all are invited to teach as well as learn, and all are encouraged to do the best they can. Success is self-determined. The only failure lies in giving up. Khan Academy's bedrock principle: mastery learning. Mastery learning suggests that students should adequately comprehend a given concept before being expected to understand a more advanced one. In a traditional academic model, the time allotted to learn something is fixed while the comprehension of the concept is variable. However, what should be fixed is a high level of comprehension, and what should be variable is the amount of time students have to understand a concept. How education happens. We learn, first of all, by deciding to learn, by committing to learning. This commitment allows, in turn, for concentration. Concentration pertains not only to the immediate task at hand, but to all the many associations that surround it. All of these processes are active and deeply personal. All involve the acceptance of responsibility. Learning involves physical changes in the brain. Proteins are synthesized, synapses are enhanced. These physical changes in the brain, however, are not permanent. What we think of as forgetting is actually the gradual loss or weakening of the extra connections acquired in the process of learning. But there's good news here as well. As the Nobel Prize-winning neuroscientist Eric Kandel has noticed, we don't lose all the extra synapses we've acquired. The findings of Kandel and other neuroscientists have much to say about how we actually learn. Unfortunately, the standard classroom model tends to ignore these fundamental biological truths. Stressing passivity over activity is one such misstep. Another is the failure of standard education to maximize the brain's capacity for associative learning. The achieving of deeper comprehension and more durable memory by relating something newly learned to something already known. It is the connections among concepts, or the lack of connections, that separate the students who memorize a formula for an exam only to forget it the next month, and the students who internalize the concepts and are able to apply them when they need them in a decade later. The homework in class model. When I started posting video lessons on YouTube, it became clear that many students around the world were using them to learn outside of formal classrooms. What was more surprising was that I soon got letters and comments from teachers who decided to stop giving lectures themselves. Instead, they used scarce class time for the type of problem solving more normally done as homework. Students could then watch the videos at home. In the model that these teachers were using, lecture at home, homework in class, students had the benefits of having the teacher and their peers around when they were problem solving. That way, difficulties or misconceptions were addressed as they were actually occurring. The teachers, rather than giving broadcast lectures, worked with individual students who needed help. Students who caught on faster assisted those who were struggling. Teachers also had the benefits of forming personal connections with students and getting real feedback on student comprehension. The use of technology had made a traditionally passive classroom interactive and human. The spirit of the one-room schoolhouse. The school of the future should be built around an updated version of the one-room schoolhouse. Kids of different ages should mix. Without the tyranny of the broadcast lecture and the one-size-fits-all curriculum, there is no reason this can't be done. With self-paced learning established as the basic model, there's no reason to lump kids by age. The older or more advanced students become allies of the teacher by mentoring and tutoring the kids who are behind. Younger students benefit by having a range of role models. Older kids sharpen and refine their understanding of concepts in the act of explaining them to younger kids. No one is just a student. Everyone is a teacher as well, worthy of the respect that goes with that. And the schoolroom, rather than being an artificial cloister shut off from the rest of the world, comes to more closely resemble the world beyond its walls. and therefore to better prepare students to function and to flourish in that world. Implications for teachers. Now that students can all learn at their own pace, we no longer need the artificial separation of classrooms that are designed for students to listen to a lecture from one teacher. Rather than three or four separate classes of 25 kids and one lonesome teacher, we would suggest a class of 75 to 100 students with three or four teachers. There are several clear advantages of this, all of which stem from the enhancement of flexibility in a system such as this. Since teaching is a complex and multifaceted job, and since no two people have the exact same set of strengths and weaknesses, a multiple teacher arrangement would give each teacher the chance to focus on what he or she does best. Further, since there's no such thing as a single right way to teach, students would have the benefit of being exposed to a number of different, nuanced perspectives. This would help them to become critical thinkers and provide better preparation for dealing with a world of widely divergent viewpoints and opinions. The Khan Academy feedback is qualitative. While a quantitative feedback is important, the far more interesting element of the feedback is qualitative. Aside from counting concepts and measuring time, what can we infer from a student's efforts at Khan Academy or some other version of computer-based education? What can we learn about his or her work ethic, persistence, resilience, elements of character that are as important as sheer intelligence as predictors of success? Johnny gets stuck. Does he flee the frustration by putting in less time? Or does he dig in and work harder until he's figured this out? As a seventh grader, Mo seems disengaged and puts in very little time at lessons. As a ninth grader, he's spending hours on biology. What does this say about his growing maturity and his possible gift for a particular field? Clearly, this sort of information, if carefully interpreted, gives us a far more three-dimensional picture of a student's than does a bunch of grades and scores. It gives us a picture not just of a test taker, but a learner. A vision of a new education. The One World Schoolhouse would be inclusive. It would be affordable. It would help to level the educational playing field both within communities and across national borders. The school we envision would embrace technology not for its own sake, but as a means to improve deep conceptual understanding, to make quality, relevant education far more portable, and to humanize the classroom. It would raise both the status and the morale of teachers by freeing them from drudgery and allowing them more time to teach, to help. It will give students more independence and control, allowing them to claim true ownership of their educations.